Kehukati, Ashi, Kama, Watch Each Other's Backs. Written by Random Reader 13 and read by K-Burb. This is a Mandalorian Batman crossover fic, rated teen and up audiences, in which no archive warnings apply. It features the relationships between Din and Bruce, Cass and Dick, and everyone and everyone. This is part 3 of Between the Stars. Chapter 1. Bruce and Din stared each other down. Dick looked back and forth between the two of them, resisting the urge to sigh. They were both legendarily stubborn, and that was by Mandalorian standards. They could be here for a while. Bruce shifted slightly, folding his arms tighter, and Din's scowl deepened. Din was probably regretting not accepting sole leadership of their clan. Since he and Bruce were co-leaders, Bruce didn't have to listen to him. Dick wondered if they had any wasika berries left, and if it'd be worth it to go get some to snack on while he waited for Din and Bruce to finish their silent argument. He had just decided that, yes, this was a good idea, when Cass appeared at his side. She silently offered him the package of berries. Thank you, Dick signed emphatically in Tuscan hand language. Cass's ability to read people really was useful. He popped a few berries in his mouth and chewed obnoxiously loudly. Bruce twitched. Dick ate more berries. Cass took a handful and chewed loudly too. Din's jaw tightened. There were a few important things to know about Bruce and Din. They were both very stubborn people, they had both adopted very stubborn children, and they both couldn't stand loud chewing. The standoff continued. Finally, over 5 minutes later, Din broke. Fine, he snapped, throwing his hands in the air. You can come, but the Ade stay on the ship. Bruce looked incredibly smug. He'd insisted on coming on Din's next sorcery hunting mission after Din barely survived the last one. The missing ships had turned out not to be caused by JT magic, but by a massive creature that Din said it looked like a cousin of a Krayt dragon. It nearly swallowed Din's shuttle whole. It was sheer skill, stupidly good luck, and maybe some magic from Grogu that let Din limp back to the Dark Star, ship barely managing to stutter into the hold before the engines gave out. So Bruce had plenty of reasons to stick to his guns in this argument. Really, Din never stood a chance. Dick reached for another handful of berries. Bruce turned neatly on his heel and plucked the package from his hand. He tossed a berry into his mouth. Prepare for hyperspace, he said cheerily. Ladive was a small backwater planet primarily made of jungles. It didn't look like it held a base for sorcerers, but from Din's stories, Dick knew that seeing wasn't always believing. Hopefully he'd get to see something, though. This was the first time Din was even letting them in the same sector as his sorcery searching. Right, Bruce said, double-checking his armor and weapons. He locked eyes with Dick. You all stay on the ship. Dick resisted the urge to roll his eyes. That'd just tip Bruce off. If we don't check in 2 hours, or if you ever think you're in danger, you leave us here and fall back out of the atmosphere, Bruce continued. Understood? Understood, Dick said, nodding. Understanding was not the same thing as obeying. He's been on desert planets, water planets, city planets, and an entire planet of swamp, but he's never been to a jungle planet. Even if there wasn't cool JT magic stuff, he'd still want to explore. With the JT magic, there was no way he was missing this. It was safe enough that Din was taking the baby for Kriff's sake. And yes, Dick was aware that Din had to bring Grogu to activate any JT magic that might be lying around, but still. Bruce clapped him on the shoulder. Good. Take care of your siblings.
Dank Ferrik.
Dick hated being the oldest. It meant he had to be the responsible one who made sure no one snuck out, rather than the one doing the sneaking. And Bruce knew that. If the glint in his eyes said anything. Smug Basom. Right, Dick said, trying to drum up some false enthusiasm. Yay, ship. Bruce rolled his eyes and put his boucher on. He and Din walked down the exit ramp, blasters at the ready. Grogu was tucked into his Buir's makeshift beery cad. He waved at Dick. Dick waved back and forlornly shut the ramp. He turned around to find Jason, Cass, and Damien hovering behind him eagerly. Sorry, guys, he said. We gotta stay on the ship. Cass narrowed her eyes at him. Damien looked disappointed. Jason scowled. He pulled the take care of your vodikase card, didn't he? He asked. Dick sighed. Yes, so I'd appreciate it if I didn't have to track any of you. He trailed off. Where's Tim and Steph? They all stared at each other for a second. Dick swore and bolted for the hold, his siblings' boots pounding behind him. Tim was halfway out of the maintenance hatch. Dick lunged forward and grabbed his ankles, hauling him back into the ship. Tim yelped but quickly stowed his blaster, years of safety training kicking in and keeping him from shooting Dick. What are you doing? Dick demanded.
Going to explore the planet,
Steph said, unabashed.
Like we all want to.
If we all want to go, then why were you sneaking out?
Because Bruce was obviously going to pull the take care of your vodikase card, and Dick was obviously going to cave like Blastoid under a blaster bolt.
Oi, Dick protested. Tim folded his arms.
Am I wrong?
Dick paused, looking around at his siblings. He sighed. No. Tim made a noise of triumph. But, Dick hurried to add, that doesn't mean you get to sneak out. This planet could be dangerous.
That's why we're fully armored and going together,
Steph pointed out.
Hey, and if we sneak out, you'd have to follow us,
Tim added, tilting his head to the side to convey a smirk. That was a good point, and Dick did want to explore. No, this was a bad idea, unless... Well, wait a bit, he decided. Make sure Bruce and Din don't come racing back immediately because there's, like, JT monsters.
Luring you into a false sense of security,
Steph agreed, nodding wisely. Dick grinned. Exactly.
Think they'll stay on the ship?
Din asked, holding his Ambin rifle at the ready.
They'd better,
Bruce grumbled, peering around a tree and gesturing them forward.
Or they'll be cleaning the vac tubes.
Din snorted.
Yeah, because that's worked as a deterrent in the past.
Bruce sighed.
I need to come up with new punishments. Preferably ones that don't drive us insane along with them.
Din said, examining a chunk of stone debris sitting among the ferns. Bruce had tried grounding Steph from jobs once. She'd retaliated by singing the most bawdy, obnoxious song she knew at all hours. Din had given up on covering Grogu's ears somewhere around hour 3 and just prayed the kid was too young to pick up on any of it.
You have raised several vindictive little shits,
he told Bruce.
They get it from you,
Bruce shot back.
How?
He was not taking responsibility for this. They were Bruce's Ade. He wasn't even around enough to be responsible.
You're the cool Babudu who showed up once every few months with stories about bounty hunting,
Bruce said, carefully shifting another piece of debris to peer around it.
They all idolize you, and you're a vindictive little shit.
He made a gesture as if to say, and that's how we got here. Din refused to be distracted by the backhanded flattery. Yeah, he loved being the cool Babadoo that the Ade liked following around, especially since Grogu wasn't nearly as impressed, but that did not mean Bruce was right.
I reject that. Like you rejected my suggestion to learn sword work? For the Manda's sake. No, Bruce, don't be silly,
Bruce said, raising the pitch of his voice to mimic a much younger Din.
I'll never need a sword. Why would I waste my time learning how to use one when I could be practicing with my blaster and staff?
He let his voice return to its normal timbre and jerked his chin at Din's belt where the darksaber rested.
And now look at you. Those sword lessons sound pretty good now, huh? I can't believe you're calling me the vindictive one here. I'm also very skilled at hypocrisy,
Bruce said, deadpan. Din snickered despite himself. Hurrah, when was the last time he'd snickered? Not very Bear Oya of him, but then again, Bruce had always seen him as his Vod first, try Bear Oya second. Bruce's helmet tilted in a smile. They broke through the trees. A ruined building sat before them, tall stones scattered in all directions. A single damaged spire remained standing in the middle of the rubble, but it didn't look very sturdy. Bruce whistled quietly, the sound coming out distorted through his vocoder.
I'm not sure anything survived.
Din hummed noncommittally.
There are usually tunnels, he said.
They walked into the ruins together. Din put away his rifle in favor of his blaster into the closer quarters. They did an initial sweep of the area, confirming that no one else was around. It looked like this place hadn't been touched since it was destroyed, no footprints disturbing the dust. When Bruce signaled the all clear, Din pulled Grogu from the bag on his hip and settled him in his arms.
Do you feel anything, JT?
He asked quietly. Grogu cooed, ears twitching. Din hummed.
I see.
He did not see, but Bruce said talking to Ade like you could understand them was important for encouraging communication. Din turned and raised his arm, flicking two fingers toward the standing part of the building. Bruce nodded and headed around the rubble, doing a final sweep on that side before meeting Din at the entrance to the spire. There was a brief stare-off as they silently debated who would go first. Bruce was the logical decision, since he wasn't carrying a baby, but Din had explained why he took Grogu with him in these JT places in the first place. Apparently, the magic could sense JT, and it could get pissy if you weren't one. They finally stepped in together, Bruce just a smidge in the front so he could block Grogu if necessary. The building was quiet and still. They waited a long moment, but nothing changed. Cautiously, Din took the lead, stepping further inside.
It's quiet,
Bruce said through their private comms. Din understood the decision. The air felt heavy and thick, like it shouldn't be disturbed by something so banal as voices. Even Grogu was quiet, and Din glanced down at him. His big eyes stared over the top of his bag, his ears lying flat. Be careful, Din said, sealing his voice off from the air, too. Grogu doesn't like this. They headed deeper into the JT Temple. Oh, no, Dick said. What a terrible Ade running away into the jungle. I simply must go after them, Jessica, as a responsible Aura Vod. Jason gave him an unimpressed look. Booyer isn't here. You don't need to do the whole act, he pointed out, shouldering the Amban rifle. They only had two, and one of those was Din's, so they all shared the other one. Well, for a given definition of shared. Jason had called dibs and then punted Tim across the room when the younger boy tried to sneak past him and snatch it off the wall first. Dick sent him a truly tragic expression. Jason sighed. Oh no, he said, voice flat. Whatever shall we do? I must accompany you into the jungle in case of danger. Dick smirked. Damn right. He hit the controls for the exit ramp. The heat was the first thing to hit them, and Dick immediately started sweating under his armor.
Okay,
he mused.
They should be over there.
The trees folded over them as they moved away from the ship, and Dick double-checked that he had the coordinates programmed correctly into his vambrace. They didn't want to get lost out here. Bruce would absolutely murder them, for one. For another, something was prickling at the back of his neck, like a spider had been dropped down his cuirass, and it made him want to shiver.
Hey, does something feel off to you?
He asked Jason quietly. Jason paused, tilting his head a little.
No more than any unfamiliar planet,
he said.
Why?
Dick shrugged.
Just a weird feeling.
Jason hummed and activated their internal comms.
Everyone take note. Dick has a weird feeling.
The words could easily have been sarcastic, but Jason's tone was genuine. Dick and Cass had the best instincts in the family. If one of them thought something was off, that was enough for a check-in. If both of them thought something was off, that called for immediate reevaluation of their plans and situation. Are you feeling anything weird, Cass? Dick asked. Cass clicked her tongue twice for no. Jason glanced at Dick.
What do you want to do?
Dick hesitated. He usually trusted his instincts, but Cass didn't feel anything. It was probably just paranoia from hearing all of Din's crazy JT magic stories and being the one in charge right now. Proceed with caution, he decided.
Roger that,
Tim said.
We're waiting for you just ahead and to the left.
Dick stayed on guard as they wandered through the trees, but he was gradually distracted from the feeling as his siblings ran around and explored.
Do you think this is safe to eat?
Jason mused, eyeing the pink fruit he had just pulled off a tree.
I could test it back at the ship. We haven't had fresh produce for a while. Wimp, take a bite right now,
Steph called jokingly. She was crouched over by a big bush, holding some of the broad, flat leaves so Damien could peer underneath them. Damien sniffed and sat back on his haunches.
I have discovered a footprint of some creature. What kind of creature?
Steph said, kneeling down to stick her own head in the bush.
Small,
Damien said, holding his hand a foot or so off the ground.
Probably carnivorous or omnivorous, given its claws. But that is not the strange thing.
Dick looked over, on high alert again.
What's strange? I see what you mean,
Steph said at the same time.
Sending image.
The picture appeared on Dick's visor and he opened it. There was indeed a small footprint in the dirt.
What am I looking at, Damica?
He asked.
The ground is hard,
Damien said, folding his arms.
It should be soft. We are on a jungle planet. The print looks like it has been there for a long while. It should have been washed away by the rains or otherwise disturbed. It feels almost like stone,
Steph said as she popped back out of the bush. She stamped her foot on the ground a few times.
Out here, too. There's no leaf litter,
Tim said suddenly.
I hadn't noticed before.
Cass snapped her fingers a few times and they all turned to look at her. No animals, she signed. Tim tilted his head in a confused frown.
But they just found an animal print.
Long time. Not now. No birds, no bugs. Dick looked around the jungle with new eyes. She was right. He hadn't heard a single bird or bug since they arrived. The whole jungle stood silent, bristling with plant life, but at the same time, feeling dead in the silence.
I think we should go back to the ship,
he said. None of his siblings argued. They hurried back to the ship in a tight cluster, pauldrons bumping against each other and heads on a swivel. Dick didn't relax until he sealed the exit ramp behind them.
That was weird,
Jason said.
Jungle planet, but no leaf litter or creatures. Hard dirt, and I didn't spot any puddles or water on the way back here. Betcha if I took off my boucher, it wouldn't be humid either. It could just be that they're due for rainfall, but with the ground as hard as it is, the plants shouldn't be as green.
He held up the pink fruit he had picked.
I'm gonna go cut this up and run some tests. Decom sonic first,
Dick said.
We don't know if there's anything out there that's dangerous.
One by one, they went through the decontamination sonic, cleaning their armor of any foreign substances. Jason put the fruit in a sealed box before his turn and headed for the hold. One of the upgrades Din had gotten the Dark Star with the reward money from Moff Gideon was an analyzer. It sat by the door to the hold, and it scanned whatever you put inside for toxicity or otherwise dangerous substances for a wide variety of species. "You can't trust everything you see in a market," he'd explained as Dick helped him install it. "What's good food for one species could be deadly for you, and what's just a rock for someone else could have deadly radiation for humanoids. This," he'd slap the top of the machine, "will warn you if there's anything dangerous." They all crowded around the machine as Jason carefully placed the fruit inside. Dick leaned his elbows on Tim's shoulders to see better, and the younger boy didn't even elbow him, too busy craning his neck to see the readout. Jason frowned at the readout. "This doesn't make any sense," he muttered. "What?" Steph demanded. Cass clambered onto Steph's back to see better. Steph automatically grabbed Cass's legs and adjusted her stance for the extra weight. "What's weird?" "The fruit doesn't have any liquid in it," Jason muttered. There was a moment of silence. "Huh?" Dick demanded. "Look," Jason tapped the readout. "It's not registering any liquid at all. This thing should be a dried out husk." "So why isn't it?" Tim asked. "I don't carking know. Do I look like a botanist?" Damien cleared his throat. "That's impossible," Dick muttered. "Unless maybe it doesn't need water. Is that possible?" "It is a weird JT planet," Tim offered. "Hey," Damien interjected. Cass snapped her fingers a few times and signed, "Cut it. See if it has juice." Well, technically, she said, "See if it bleeds," but they all knew what she meant. Tuscan hand language didn't always have specific words for everything. Instead, they just switched out another, usually violent words that made sense in context. Sort of like Mandoa, actually. No wonder Din got along so well with them. Jason grunted in assent and pulled out a knife. "Hey," Damien yelled. They all turned to look at him. He had elbowed his way to the front of the group and scowled up at them all from his place by the scanner. "It's shriveling, which you would have noticed if you weren't too busy jabbering." "What?" Everyone yelled. They all crammed closer. Damien yelled angrily as he got squished against the scanner. Dick got a knee to the ribs as Steph abandoned Cass in favor of getting closer, and Cass decided he was the next best person to climb. "Okay, back up," Jason snapped, shoving the lot of them away. Dick staggered back, barely managing to keep his balance as Cass clung to his head. "Vor Entia," Jason said pointedly, turning to open the scanner. He pulled out a handful of dust. They all stared at each other. "Oh, I don't like that," Steph muttered. "I don't like that at all." Cass clicked her tongue in agreement. There was nothing to see in the standing remains of the temple. Din was mostly relieved. He didn't like the silence of this place. He wasn't sure any JT magic that lived here would be particularly nice. And he wasn't sure he really wanted to complete his quest anyway. He was getting more used to the idea of keeping Grogu as a permanent member of his clan, of raising the odd with the help of his Vaad and Vaadi Kase. The not JT said Grogu's attachment to him was dangerous, but Din didn't see how. If he raised Grogu as a Mandalorian, he would learn to turn any anger or pain into protectiveness for the good of the elite. Mandalorian's attachments gave them strength. Drashia Tomei. Wouldn't the JT teach Grogu to isolate himself? Din had been alone for a long time, as the tribe's Baroya, and he wouldn't wish that on anyone. Anyway, he wasn't upset about the lack of JT magic. There had been one moment when he thought something was about to happen, when Grogu perked up and cooed in the highest room in the spire, smiling and batting his hands on the bag, but nothing had happened. He and Roos had swept the room 3 times, but nothing glowed or moved and the roof didn't fall in on them. Maybe Grogu just felt like making some noise to break the tense silence. Maybe he was hungry.
"Is that it, Adika?"
he asked softly.
"Are you hungry? We'll get you some nice wasaka berries back on the ship, if your vode haven't eaten them all. I wouldn't be hopeful,
Bruce said, leading the way out of the temple, blaster at the ready.
They get snacky when they're bored. Is that where all my rishkates went?
Din asked, mostly amused.
I thought they ran out too fast. Probably.
Bruce agreed, voice carefully neutral. Din sent him a suspicious look. Bruce stared straight ahead, visor giving nothing away.
You basem, it was you, wasn't it?
He exclaimed.
And you were going to blame your Ade. I have no idea what you're talking about,
Bruce said easily.
Bantha shit. You're buying me more next time we go to Corellia. Of course. As their Buir, it's my job to handle my Ade's transgressions. You're a Shabuir,
Din informed his Vod seriously.
I thought I was vindictive. You're a lot of things,
Din laughed. It was like a weight had fallen off his shoulders, now that he knew he didn't have to deal with sorcery or monsters or a JT who would agree to train Grogu. He jostled Bruce as they entered the tree line and got jostled right back. The jocular mood vanished as they arrived at the clearing where the ship should have been. Should have been, because there was no ship and no sign of disturbance. Din checked his comm records automatically, wondering if he had somehow missed a call from his elite. He hadn't.
Something must have spooked them,
Bruce said, voice tense.
I'll call.
He tapped his vambrace, adjusting his comm frequency. Din waited, eyeing the surrounding trees.
They're not picking up,
Bruce said after a long moment. Din clenched his jaw. This was bad.
Maybe they're in hyperspace,
he suggested.
Maybe whatever spooked them was bad enough for a jump.
That wasn't as reassuring as he'd intended it to be. It took a lot to scare Bruce's Ade, and until they replied, they had no way of knowing what happened or if everyone was okay. Din wanted to reassure Bruce, but he knew how empty reassurances rang in the face of losing your children. He settled for resting a hand on Bruce's shoulder, above the pauldron, and giving a firm squeeze.
I'm here,
the gesture said.
You're not alone.
Though it occurred to him, somewhat belatedly, that if something had managed to scare off Bruce's Ade, then he, Bruce, and Grogu were probably in more immediate danger.
I'm going to do a lap,
he murmured.
Try and see what may have caused this.
Bruce nodded stiffly, typing on his vambrace. After a moment's consideration, Din lifted Grogu's bag off his shoulder and pushed it into his Vod's startled hands.
Keep an eye on him,
he said, turning and jogging a short distance away so Bruce couldn't hand the Ade back. Grogu had a calming effect on people, most of the time, though when he really got into a mood, everyone got into a mood. Din himself had plenty of experience with the instant comfort of hugging Grogu, and Bruce needed some of that right now. Not to mention, watching Grogu would give Bruce a sense of purpose. Mandalorians didn't do well without a purpose, and one whose Ade might be in danger did even worse. So yes, Din was happy to hand Grogu over for many reasons, but that didn't mean there wasn't a part of him that tensed at the loss of the Ade's weight, that wanted to hold his kid close until he was sure the threat was gone. He crouched and flipped through the settings on his visor. There weren't any recent tracks, no hints of heat signatures left in the area. They must have left quickly after Din and Bruce entered the temple. There should have been some indication from the ship's engines otherwise. No disturbances to point to an animal or a ship. Din paused. Actually, there was no indication that any ship had been there. Din quickly walked to a spot he knew a landing gear had been. It was just across from that tree with the vibrant yellow leaves and red flowers, and at a 30-degree angle with the bush with the large flat leaves. The plant should have been crushed, there should have been indentations into the dirt, and here, where the thrusters were, there should have been scorch marks. The plants grew green and lush, uncrushed and unburnt, as if no ship had been there at all. Din swallowed.
What have you found?
Bruce asked, suddenly by his side. Grogu was clasped tightly in his arms, sitting quietly and gently patting Bruce's vambrace. Din looked up at him, at a loss.
What have you found?
Bruce repeated, voice sharpening. Din slowly stood up from where he'd been kneeling to inspect the plants.
Nothing,
he said hoarsely.
Bruce, it's like the ship was never here.
Bruce's grip on Grogu tightened as Din pointed out his observations until the odds squeaked. Bruce quickly loosened his grip and stroked Grogu's ears apologetically.
What could this mean?
He asked slowly, not looking up from the odd.
Of course the ship was here. We're here, after all. We couldn't have spent enough time and...
He froze. Their visors met, matching horror through their veins.
How long were we in that temple, Din?
Bruce asked shakily. Din pulled up his van brace controls to check the time and, please, Kara, no, the date. The chronometer blinked blankly at him, an empty string of zeros flashing across his visor.
My chrono's not working,
he said. He caught Grogu as Bruce shoved the odd at him to check his own chrono. Anyone else would have gotten a blaster bolt to the face for the rough handling, but this was his VOD, and he was panicking over losing his own Ade. So Din just adjusted Grogu to a comfortable position and watched Bruce in concern. He must have gotten the same response on his chrono, because Bruce let out a violent string of curses, spinning around and kicking the ground, fists clenched at his sides. Bruce didn't curse often, trying to set a good example for his Ade, a losing battle, if you asked Din, and Din flinched a little, hearing it.
Come in, Darkstar,
Bruce said.
Darkstar, this is Darpan. What is your location? Dang, Ferrick.
Bruce,
Din said cautiously. He edged forward, turning his body a little to protect Grogu. He didn't think Bruce would consciously hurt the odd, but Din had unintentionally attacked allies while in a compromised emotional state himself, and he wasn't about to take the risk.
Bruce, Vod, we'll find them.
Bruce took a deep breath that rasped through his vocoder.
Of course,
he said, voice going flat and expressionless, as impenetrable as his Beskar Gom. Din's heart ached. He'd listened to that voice every day for years after the Night of a Thousand Tears, when Bruce painted his armor in gray and submerged himself in his grief. It had disappeared bit by bit as he adopted his Ade, splashes of color gradually overtaking the gray, bringing back the funny, gentle man that hid underneath. Din didn't like hearing it again.
We need to scout the planet,
Bruce said, tapping on his vambrace and looking around.
We need to find a way off planet. We need to know if we're missing time or if the chronos are just broken, and to do that, we need to find people. Right,
Din said, not knowing what else to do. Bruce nodded and strode away. Din stared after him for a long moment. He was used to being the person being helped when his kid was missing, not the one doing the helping. He felt terribly hypocritical, standing there with Grogu safely in his arms, while his Vada Kasse had disappeared somewhere among the stars. But he'd figure it out, for his Vod and his elite.
We'll find them,
he repeated, and it was a vow to the Kara themselves.